This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The Bradley Foundation is well known in Wisconsin as both a supporter of conservative and conservative-leaning groups and also Milwaukee art organizations. But what's less known is the foundation's long-term national aspirations.
Some of those goals have been coming to light through a series in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Reporter Dan Bice has shaped and produced much of that series, and he joins us in studio to give some insight into his reporting. He tells Lake Effect's Mitch Teich what makes the foundation a compelling topic to explore at this point in time.
You know, it flies beneath the radar nationally and even here locally to some degree, but they have $900 million. When I first started covering them, I started writing about them more intensely in 2011. At that time, they had $600 million. And a private charity, has to give away 5%, about 5% of their assets each year. So right now, they're giving away $40 to $45 million a year. They spread that over. Some of it's given to the arts community, but the bulk of their money goes to spending on conservative groups, conservative nonprofits, that sort of thing.
Well, and they have been around, if I remember this correctly, since 1985. Are things changing that in their MO that makes it worth looking more closely at this point in time?
Sure. We can talk about these hacked documents that have become public now. But they made a switch. Now, conservatives nationally are making this pitch of federalism to move more responsibilities to the state. And the Bradley Foundation had been well known over the years for its work nationally. It's a key contributor to the Heritage Foundation, to the Federal Society, to the American Enterprise Institute, the Cato Institute, all of these things. But around the year 2010, Mike Grebe, who was then in charge of the Bradley Foundation, started thinking about shifting some of their resources to the states and spending more money trying to build up what he calls a conservative infrastructure in the states. And since they're based here, the Bradley Foundation likes to try its ideas in Wisconsin. So what they did was they put money into 14 different nonprofits, a legal center, think tanks, opposition research centers, bill drafting groups, all sorts of things, starting around 2011. And between 2011 and 2015, they put $13.4 million into these groups. And they're not just passive groups. These are activist conservative groups that are out there helping Republicans by recruiting candidates, filing lawsuits, doing all sorts of things.
Well, and this is interesting because it kind of parallels the rise to power of Scott Walker. And a lot of people talked about Scott Walker's election and the flip of the entire legislature as, you know, Wisconsin becoming kind of a political laboratory for many kinds of conservative programs. And you would, it sounds like, contest that, or you would suggest that it's going on in more ways than one.
Right. I mean, there's a reason that welfare reform started in Wisconsin. That was something the Bradley Foundation has pushed since day one. There's a reason that school choice occurs here, why Governor Thompson pushed that proposal here. It's been a Bradley Foundation idea. They have broadened their scope to other topics. And actually starting around the year 2003, 2004, they took a great deal of interest in the issue of big labor, as they call it. And so they've been pushing this issue of big labor long before Scott Walker did it. These groups act as sort of a support staff. Some people call it a shadow government to help the Walker administration. Now the governor will himself downplay these things, saying that he accomplishes many of these things on his own. And it's illegal for these groups to participate directly in campaigns and stuff, but they can do a lot of stuff. They can do a lot of things indirectly during a campaign. For instance, I'll give you some instances. One would be Wisconsin Watchdog, which is was an online website that would do its own style of reporting. The main reporter is a former Associated Press reporter and a daily newspaper business editor. He did a number of stories on Mary Burke, very critical of her and her quote-unquote firing at Trek bicycles. That's a story that was turned quickly into a TV ad and certainly was helpful to Scott Walker in the last election.
But as you say, coordinating directly with a campaign is prohibited.
Right. You can't do that. But, you know, the overlap is very close. I'm going to do a story on how after the recall elections, Governor Walker and his campaign brain trust of R.J. Johnson and Keith Jokes met with the donors of the Bradley Foundation for sort of a powwow at a secret retreat or private retreat to talk about how the recalls happened. So, yeah, there is a line. You cannot directly participate in election activity, but certainly the Walker administration and the Walker campaign has benefited from this infrastructure. And what we saw from these internal records is the Bradley Foundation believes that they've been very successful with this. They recently received $200 million infusion of cash from one of the Bradley family members' trusts. And so they're using a lot of that money to take this model and try it in other states. They've tried it in Washington. They've been very aggressive about attacking unions in Washington. They are doing something similar, and they're putting money into a group called American Majority that recruits candidates. They're doing that in Colorado, and they're very active in North Carolina. There's about 12 or 14 states that they're actively supporting these outside aggressive nonprofits.
Is this taking a page from, say, the Koch brothers playbook, or I guess the Bradley Foundation or conservative supporters might also point to what some national liberal organizing groups with deep pockets have already done?
Well, actually, when they decided to do this back in 2008, 9, and 10, there was a book that came out. Adam Schrager, who's now in Madison, wrote the book on Colorado on how four philanthropists, liberal philanthropists, set up a similar infrastructure there and was able to flip the state blue. And right now, the Bradley Foundation is using its resources to try to turn it back to red. So there's sort of a minor political civil war going on there. But so liberals have done it. In the state, they have some of these things. You have one Wisconsin now that does opposition research stuff, Emerge, which recruits candidates just like American Majority. But I don't think their infrastructure is nearly as large or as effective right now. Mike Tate, the former Democratic Party chairman, says that they lack the discipline and patience of the Bradley Foundation. So as for the Koch brothers tend to invest directly into campaigns or in terms of doing campaign-related spending. So some people have said that this works hand-in-hand with what the Koch brothers are doing. They've set up sort of a shadow campaign. The Bradley Foundation is underwriting a shadow government. So, it's similar, but it's different. It's filling a niche that others haven't filled before.
Talk about how the foundation's practices came to light, these documents that were leaked.
It was a weird thing. In late October, someone posted, a group called Anonymous Poland posted online that they had gotten into these records. And Anonymous Poland claimed to be part of the Anonymous Hackers group. That doesn't appear to be the case. But what they did was they got these files. They inserted three forged fake documents. They had no idea what the Bradley Foundation was. And so they tried to say that the Bradley Foundation had illegally given $156 million to Hillary Clinton through these letters. The money came through its asset manager, Rothschilds, which sort of fit a conspiratorial idea that the hackers had. So they put those things out there. It had no impact. The story went away. They had the records online for about 4 or 5 days. Someone made copies of this stuff, which is infected with viruses, malware, and all that sort of stuff, and gave it to me not a long time ago. And so we just started going through them. So it's 56,000 files, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of records. A lot of them are personnel-related stuff, and I've not touched that just because I don't think people care how many sick days certain staffers took. A lot of financial records in there, too.
As you say, there were also some forged documents, so
there
how do you
the
go
three
about—
forged documents, but once you start looking at it, I knew pretty immediately that these things are real because the Bradley Foundation is open and publishes a report of all the most of the grants that they give out, and so I was able to look at the internal grant-making process and to match it with what they were doing externally. Plus, I know a fair bit about the Bradley Foundation, and this a lot of the stuff rang true. I mean, some of the basic stuff that a forger would not think to do, such as Mike Grebe, the then CEO's, had a list of people whose calls would be patched through directly to him if they made them. And so I know his family members. He's also the chairman of the Walker campaign. So Scott Walker's on the list. His former campaign manager's on the list.
There's also an enemies list that shows up.
There is an enemies list of it's 17 different groups. You're not on it. Sorry about that.
and nor are you.
I'm not on it either.
Not yet, anyway.
And so, yeah, it's a list of – the board had asked for a list of groups that were thwarting the conservative movement. And so the staff came up with 15 and then 15, then 16, and then eventually settled on 17 groups. I published that over the weekend. And a number of liberal groups are happy to be on it. So I'm expecting people to have campaign fundraising mailers that make mention of the fact that they are on the enemies list for the Bradley Foundation.
Now, if the Bradley Foundation serves as something of a shadow government and the Koch Foundation serves as something of a shadow campaign, is there any indication that strategy might be changing, that the Bradley Foundation might be getting more into the business of direct involvement with specific politicians or specific candidates?
In their grant applications, they are not directly involved in any of this stuff. Their influence is in terms of deciding who to give money to and who not to give money to. And when you go through the grants, you can see that they are very involved in managing the process. They're not telling them what to do. But, for instance, on the John Doe investigation, several of these groups in Madison, the conservative groups they fund, attacked the John Doe. And one outlet wrote 400 critical stories of it. And that's noted in the grant review, saying that they had done a good job in exploiting and exposing the John Doe. So they have a hand in and an indirect hand in how these things are carried out. But they're not specifically telling them, you need to do this, you don't do this. They also fund the American Majority, which does recruit candidates. And that one, to me, is the most peculiar one because you're getting pretty close to the campaign line when you're doing that. But in their records, they say they're not recruiting Republican candidates. They say they're recruiting pro-freedom candidates. So that makes it permissible, apparently.
Well, how does the foundation's political work relate to the work they do with arts and other charitable groups in Milwaukee? Until
we saw these hacked files, we didn't have any sense of how it affected. And for the most part, much of what they're giving to the arts and cultural community in Milwaukee is basically to make sure it's thriving and okay. But there are specific instances in which their political views did have an impact, most notably with the art museum. The art museum a couple of years ago had a portrait called Ex Benedict that was of the Pope made out of condoms. There was a lot of controversy over that, but we didn't know that the Bradley Foundation went over there, basically told them to take it down. The art museum said no. And so the Bradley Foundation withdrew its grant.
$90,000
and hasn't given anything more to them since then. They say that they're not holding that against them. There's just not been the opportunity since then. But obviously that was an impact. With the public museum, they haven't cut funding there. But in their records, the staffer wrote that they needed to track and monitor the new director's political views. It doesn't say exactly what they are. And the Bradley Foundation has been reluctant to give any details on that. My guess from reading the document is they have concerns that he is a supporter. He believes that there is such a thing as man-made climate change. And it's fair to say the Bradley Foundation is a skeptic of that. They fund a number of groups that are skeptical of that. One other thing that I don't think anybody knew outside of the Milwaukee Symphony was that they had given a $15 million grant to them to help them move their location. It's the second largest grant that they've ever given. And their largest grant was actually a loan to the Milwaukee Brewers for the stadium. But that was quickly transferred into a grant. So that was $20 million. This one is $15 million. So, I mean, they're a major player in the arts community here. A lot of the analyses in these documents gave us a window into how well some of these different groups are doing or not doing. I mean, there are some that they're very critical because they're, you know, underwater, not doing so well. On the other hand, groups like the Milwaukee Ballet doing very well, and they're happy to underwrite a group like that.
Well, it's interesting stuff. And Dan Bice, we'll keep reading.
Sure. There will be many more stories. We hope to have another one on climate change, maybe one on their funding for groups that oppose same-sex marriage, traditional family values. So those stories are still to come.
Dan Bice is reporter and No Quarter columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You'll find a link to the newspaper's ongoing series on the Bradley Foundation at wuwm.com.